Someone and say, hey, it's great to see you at church today. It's great to see you. It's great to see all the dads in the room. Hopefully you go for steak later today. And got a good snack. We have a gift for you today as well. We welcome you here. If you are new to our church, there is a sermon note that we provide. It looks like this. Well, something like this. You can get a hard copy of that. You can also go on our website. Everything is there on the website as well as an app, and you could follow the notes today. It gives us an opportunity not only to hear God's word for us as we've heard in worship, but also to apply it to our everyday lives. Have you ever had an injury before? Have you ever hurt yourself doing something like a sport or working or wrestling with your kids? When I was 16 years of age, I grew up on a farm, and one of the things that we had to do is we had to wheelbarrow cement from a cement truck to this barn that we were building a foundation in. And there was a few of us there that day, and I'm a 16-year-old skinny kid. I was basically the same size as I am today, but just skinnier, okay? And so I have this wheelbarrow full of cement that's probably weighed more than me, and I'm trying to go up a little ramp into a footing that was going to put the cement into the foundation of this barn, okay? So very simple, it sounds simple, everything was good, except for at the last part of the day, I'm going up the ramp, and the wheelbarrow wheel came off the ramp and kind of went to its side, and so I just tweaked myself a bit, but it wasn't bad, I felt great until the next day. I don't know if you've ever hurt your back before, but as a 16-year-old, you're like, oh, I'll just push through it. Any guys feel that sometimes? You're like, oh, I tweaked something. It's okay. I'm going to push through it until the next day. You don't have to confess. I'm just confessing my own story. So I felt the next day I couldn't really feel that great, but I kind of pushed through it. If you know anything about me, I love playing sports, so I'm playing basketball and soccer, and I'm on different teams. And by the first week, I'm still feeling this pinch between my back, and I didn't know where it was coming from, and it was hard to walk at times. I know I hurt myself, so I needed to ask for help. Went to the doctor. Long story short, I found out that in between your vertebrae, there's like a little pocket that takes care of your vertebrae. I popped that pocket because of the weight that of the cement, and the nerves on the two vertebrae were rubbing against each other. That was where the pain was. So I had to go through physio. And for 4 months, I was in physio, and I couldn't play any sports anymore. And I felt so bored as a 16-year-old student, but I needed to heal. Now, Scripture, in the same way, shares about us that as a body of believers, if you are a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives within you. And the Holy Spirit imparts gifts or his presence in you. And sometimes we don't reach our full potential as a followers of Jesus as a church or any local community if we do not practice what the Holy Spirit has for us. It's the same way with me physically. If I wanted to be whole, I needed to rest and I needed to heal. As followers of Jesus, when you come on a Sunday morning, I hope and you have an expectation that you hear the voice of the Lord will help you rest and his presence will heal you from the inside as well as our bodies. And so each of us as followers of Jesus, if you look through Scripture, has the ability, because the Holy Spirit now lives within you, to be Spirit-led people or a Spirit-led follower of Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean to be Spirit-led? Well, the first week talked about the presence of the Lord, that we are never alone. God is with us. Last week, we talked about the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit, which helps us to be more like Jesus. So I can be like Jesus in my marriage. I can be like Jesus with my kids. I can be like Jesus in the community. It's the same with you and I as we are Spirit-led people at school and at work. But he also imparts gifts. That's what we're going to talk about today. So what are spiritual gifts? Well, spiritual gifts is an outward expression of the Holy Spirit working in you and working through you supernaturally. This is key, to benefit others. The Holy Spirit lives in you, not just for your own sake, but for the sake of others around you. And it's not just a natural gift or talent, but functions of a Spirit-led follower of Jesus. So this is how we uniquely walk with the Holy Spirit. And so you'll see it in your sermon notes. You'll also see it on the screens behind me. So this is what some things that we have as followers of Jesus as the Holy Spirit transforms us and makes us whole in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit, He directs and guides and convicts and reveals who Jesus is to us. We see that the Holy Spirit is transformational and transforms us not just from the inside, but the outward side to people in this room and those around us in our world. And so each of us, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, have been gifted by the Holy Spirit. You are gifted simply because the Holy Spirit now lives in you. It doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter your ethnic group, it doesn't matter how much money or no money you have, you are gifted by the Holy Spirit. You'll see here in a context called 1 Corinthians, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. And as you see in the back of the side or the below is that the Spirit is given for the common good. Meaning that the Holy Spirit now lives in you, not just for your good, but for the sake of others. A few years ago, I was a youth pastor, and I was a youth pastor in the Okanagan. And I don't know how this happened. It was quite amazing, and it was a series of events. But our youth ministry was doing different types of youth ministry in the high schools. We couldn't talk about Jesus in the high schools, but we could be like Jesus in our high schools. And so we did high school assemblies in three different schools one year. And in one of the high school assemblies, there's 800 junior highs, grade 7, grade 8, and grade 9. God bless junior highs. And so if you're a junior high in this room, God bless you. And if you are a dad of a junior high, God bless you. They're going to take your pit stick, okay? God bless deodorant. So in any context, we were doing this high school assembly, and one of the speakers were talking about mental health and said, if you have a mental health concern and you feel like you are self-destructing, we encourage you to go talk to your school counselor. So 900 kids heard that talk. At the talk, after the talk, 50 students went to the counselor, and there's only one counselor into the school. Okay, stick with me. So 50 kids out of this high school assembly said, hey, I am wrestling through mental health issues. I don't know what to do. And the counselor's overwhelmed and lets us know, like, hey, Andy, if you just let us know that the speaker was talking about this, we would be ready. We're not ready for 50 students. I might be ready for 3 students. I'm like, don't worry. I will contact a few people. Now, the church that I used to work at had a larger congregation. And all I had to do was throw a text, because I knew there was professional Christian counselors, Spirit-led followers of Jesus in our church that were professional counselors. So I texted 10 of them, said, hey, this one school needs counselors. Can you come up? In the span of 5 minutes, I had 5 counselors say, Andy, we're willing to give our time. We'll show up in the next couple days. I said, here's the counselor's name. And they gave their professional gifts to a local secular school for free. It was amazing. It's the same thing with us. When we're generous, as the Holy Spirit is generous to us and gives us gifts, it gives us blessings, we can gift others and give blessings to others. As a result, the administration of that school thought, that's amazing. I can get free counselors now. I can get free counseling. But it gave us an opportunity to be light into the darkness in a school. This is the remarkable or an example of what the Spirit does when we are generous, when the church rises to the occasion to help those that are in need. You see, the Corinthian context thought that spiritual gifts was for them. They thought that spiritual gifts were for their own glory or for their own way. But that's about natural gifts. If you think about even our secular context that we live in, we are all gifted. We all have education. We all have a job, or we get compensation for what we do. But it's mostly about us. It's for our own glory or reputation, even though you're helping others. Those are physical gifts. Those are perhaps gifts that you have been gifted with or skill sets. But here, spiritual gifts, God gives them for the benefit of others. It's not just for your own benefit. And because of that, there is great blessing because of it. As we see, not only are you called and gifted by the Holy Spirit with gifts, each of us here today can practice the gifts of the Holy Spirit in everyday life. You don't have to just come to a Sunday service to practice these gifts. We'll go through them with you today. But each of you can practice this as you become and are a Spirit-led people. Now, Paul continues in this Corinth context to talk about the Holy Spirit that comes upon you. Verse 11, it says, these gifts that you practice work of one and the same Spirit. And it's the Spirit of God that distributes them to each other, just as he determines. So it's the Holy Spirit coming upon you and gives you these gifts. So let me go through these gifts really quickly. There's 9 gifts, as you see. And this is not in your sermon notes. If you want to take pictures, you can. But I'm just going to go through this very quickly. These 9 gifts are meant to bless others. The first one is wisdom and knowledge. You see, the Holy Spirit comes upon us to speak wisdom into a situation. Chat gets this wrong. Google gets this wrong. It just spits information at you. It's not necessarily wisdom or knowledge. It's information. But when you come to the Holy Spirit and have a question or a need, as you worship God in prayer and in hearing God's word and in worship, God speaks to us contextually and he gives us wisdom. Wisdom into a circumstance and situation. Knowledge is pretty close to this, but it's a word from God for someone saying, hey, I'm praying for you. I heard a word. I want to share this word. But it's to benefit someone. It's not to harass someone. It's not to judge someone. It's not to ridicule someone. It's to bless someone. There's been many times as a pastor that I've been in meetings and needing contextual wisdom. I remember this one difficult situation that I'm going to share with you today. It was a family that was fighting over an estate. The mom and dad unfortunately passed away. They owned a house in Vancouver. One of the sons lived in that house, and the other family members did not live in that house. And so for whatever reason, the family member who thought that they were living in the house therefore owned the house. And the other people that were part of the family that was out of that house didn't own that house anymore, and they started to fight about it. Like, who owns it? How can we live in Vancouver if we don't sell it? And all these things. And they started to fight. And they came to my office to tell me about this thing. And they were deeply despaired. They were discouraged. They're like, how do we actually deal with this? And the only thing I can share as a pastor is simply ask, hey, are you a follower of Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus, you know, died for your sins and he was raised from the third day? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit lives in you? And they told me that they were followers of Jesus. So I said, well, as followers of Jesus, we should pray for wisdom. We should pray for discernment. We should pray for knowledge of how to handle this well. And so we prayed about it. We paused. We didn't go to the lawyers, even though they wanted to go to a lawyer. They went to chat. They found all the information that they needed of how to wrestle through this. They went to different contexts, but we went to the Lord in prayer and in wisdom. And out of our meeting that day, we felt maybe we should be like Jesus. Sounds simple, right? Maybe we should be like Jesus with our family members. Even though they think they are followers of Jesus, maybe we should go above and beyond and try to mitigate. And if they want us to sell, we'll sell. If they want us to live there, or if we can try to buy them out, we'll buy them out. And they came out of that meeting today at least with some clarity. So James puts it this way. James is the brother, half-brother of Jesus. And Jesus had a biological family. James is the leader of the Jerusalem church. And so he puts it this way. He was never a follower of Jesus. He thought his brother Jesus was crazy until the resurrection. After the resurrection, he's like, wow, Jesus, everything he said came true. We should pause here. Like, imagine playing hide and seek with Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Like, that would be pretty frustrating because he would already know where you were. Or think of playing baseball. Like, was he always hitting the home runs? Like, who knows? But there was sibling rivalry here. James does not follow Jesus until after the resurrection. But these words he says. He says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God. He's talking about his brother Jesus, who gives generously all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. You see, the Spirit of God lives within you. And if you need wisdom and knowledge, all you have to do is ask. Wisdom in our work, wisdom with our kids, wisdom within our marriages, wisdom as a dad, wisdom in our relationships, and spiritual wisdom when it comes to living like Jesus in our world today. We can have the opportunity to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. It's an awesome reality, friends, that if you truly believe the Holy Spirit lives within you, you have this great reality that the Spirit wants to work in and through you, including you dads in the room. He continues these spiritual gifts of faith and healing. Faith is a supernatural ability to believe that God is going to do the impossible. It's all there for you. If you can go to the next slide. Healing, on the other side, as we talked about this 2 weeks ago, healing through the Holy Spirit can heal people physically. As we see with Jesus in the history of the church, signs and wonders accompany those of the work of the Spirit, including salvation. But this is in the context of this passage of Scripture of God healing supernatural people physically. Again, James, the brother of Jesus, says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call on the elders of the church or the leaders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, meaning bring your physical needs to the Lord. We live in a very great society that has doctors. We encourage for that. There's medication. That's important. But bring all your requests, this is what the Spirit says, to the Lord. At times, God heals people physically instantaneously. There's other times that God heals people occasionally or continually. But as we have learned today, it's up to the Spirit. That doesn't mean that we have false faith when we pray and God does not heal. That's not what happens. It means that we bring our requests to him and we allow God to heal us in the context of the Spirit. We also see the gifts of the Spirit with miracles. These are the supernatural power of God working in a believer and in the body of believers. Last Sunday, we had three services. We had a daycare service, and I had to jet out early. So if you were part of the daycare, I apologize. I had to leave early because I was invited to a party of a person that wanted to be a pastor, and he was getting ordained that day and did a party. So imagine a bunch of pastors getting together to party. We just talk about church. That's all we do, and eat. Kind of like what we do on Father's Day, I guess. But in any context, we get together, and one pastor is asking me, hey, how are things at home, church? And what does this look like? Like, are you Pastor Bruce Lee yet? That's what he said. I'm not lying, okay? Are you Chinese yet? And so I talked to him, and I said, the church wanted to be a neighborhood church. We went through this whole process. 2025 was really big. We changed our name. We changed our legal name. Tithing is up. Giving is up. People are coming to faith. There's baptisms. And I'm like, I don't know what else to say. Like, everything has been fun. And he stopped me in his tracks, the seasoned pastor. He's like, Andy, do you know that's actually a miracle? Like, what you're saying today is a miracle. Like, for that church to want to be a neighborhood church, like, that's God speaking. And there's signs and wonders happening. Sometimes we think that God does the supernatural. It's like something from the movies. No, God does that every day. He's supernaturally working every day with signs and wonders, with miracles, with the ability to heal and restore. And then he talks about the last three gifts that are really gifts that we can practice actually every day with one another. To prophesy means to speak life over someone, to speak encouragement over one, or to distinguish spirits, to discern which spirit is being led. Sometimes it's our own self-talk, but everything is spiritual when you look in the New Testament reality. So it's not just a secular context or self-help that actually heals us. It's spiritual. So you discern through what's right or wrong. You discern what chat is saying to you actually leads to truth, or is it a person named Jesus who leads us to truth? Then we talk about tongues. There's this supernatural heavenly language that is spoken and interpreted and designed to encourage one another, not just individually, but us as a body of believers. This means that the gifts are the Spirit are for today and for now. This is not just a historic narrative. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit lives in you, is for today. Just as one body through one and many parts, but all of it, many parts, form one body, so it is with Christ. You see, God's given you spiritual gifts to practice those spiritual gifts for today. It's not just Pastor Andy or leaders. It's all of us to benefit all of us together, just like one body. Just like me, when I hurt myself, or boys and the men in the room, we have injuries and we fake it until we make it. Like, we can only do that for so long. But as body of believers, when we're all in one function, one accord, when we're healthy, we see the Spirit move like there's nothing else. It's pretty amazing reality because we're called to bless one another. What's the opposite of blessing? It's cursing. When we are not filled with the Spirit, we're filled with self. And unfortunately, even those that call themselves followers of Jesus does not mean they're Spirit-led. They can be self-centered and hurt people, unfortunately, and even unintentionally hurt other people. And it happened in the New Testament narrative too. If we are not Spirit-led people, then we're self-centered people. And we see this in Ephesus. Paul puts it this way: don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, he says, but only what is helpful for building each other up. That includes your socials. According to whose needs? Not your needs. It's their needs. That it may benefit those who listen. Now, if we don't do that, we actually grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, grief is a really tough word to be able to define in this context. But here in this context, to grieve means to hurt, to insult, to offend. So when I'm self-centered as a follower of Jesus, even though I say I'm a follower of Jesus and I'm not being Spirit-led, I'm actually offending and hurting God himself. And when we do this, we actually quench the Holy Spirit's work in our lives and in the church. In another church, Paul puts it this way. He says, do not quench the Spirit, meaning that the Spirit's work is limited based on how we treat one another, how we look at one another, how we process life when others hurt us. His works, the Holy Spirit's work, his gifts, his miracles, his moving is limited by how we choose to live in faith through the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, in the Corinth context, they used the Spirit for their own benefit, not the benefits of others. And selfish reasons sometimes seep into church life. Divisions, secret sin, two different lives, hypocritical, maybe some you hear that sometimes in the context, picking sides rather than being Spirit-led. It's like trying to lamp or light a campfire with wet wood. It's camp season. Anyone love camping? I don't know if you love camping, but Anna grew up, my wife, grew up in a small little town called Canal Flats. If you want to know how to light a campfire, talk to Anna Gabrick. She is the model of example of what it means to put a fire together. Do not talk to Andy Gabber because he will pick the wet wood. He won't pick the right wood to start a fire. But it gets quite frustrating when you try to start a campfire with wet wood. You spark it, you spark it, you spark it. You can put gas on it. Done that. You can put papers underneath it. You can start it with a light. And it will light up for a moment, but then quench out. It's the same thing with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to do stuff. He wants to move and work and do great things. But we have the ability to let the Holy Spirit move or actually quench the Holy Spirit. And this is an important reality as followers of Jesus, because we can invite the Holy Spirit to do the impossible. But if we do not follow the ways of the Spirit, as we have talked about in week one or week two, then we actually quench the Spirit's work in our own lives and in a church. This is why we need to be Spirit-led and follow where the Spirit leads, not just follow the gifts or signs or an experience or a service of the Spirit. And lastly, we see that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are to bless the community of believers. Like I mentioned, we're called to bless, not curse. God put the body together. That its parts should have equal concern for each other. And now that you are the body of Christ, verse 27, each one of you is a part of it. Meaning that even if you do not like church life, you're still part of it. Newsflash. You might not like everything that happens in church life. You might not love everyone that's here today. I hope you do. But we're called to bless one another. And blessing is not just a feeling. It is a choice. We have a choice to bless others. We have a choice to use the spiritual gifts that God has given us to love one another, to minister to one another, to encourage one another, and to see them grow. This is what it means to be gifted by the Holy Spirit. It is to bless others. It's to see others reach their best. He shares this reality for the Romans. If you read Romans chapter 1, verses 11 and 12, of what Paul mentioned about the Holy Spirit being imparted. So he says it this way. I long to see you so that I may... So he's writing this letter. He wants to see the followers of Jesus in Rome so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong, he says, so that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. So Paul is saying here today that there is this exercise of imparting the Spirit into each other to mutually encourage one another, to make them strong in the Lord in our human weaknesses. Now, I must confess, I am a dad of three teenage boys. It's one of my greatest joys in life to teach them how to be, for a lack of a better word, manly. I'm teaching them how to shave. I'm teaching them why they should put pit stick on, not just once, not just twice, but sometimes three times a day. I teach them how to floss their teeth. I teach them how to brush their teeth. And I find myself sometimes going into my bathroom without my shaver. Some boy has taken my shaver. At other times, someone took my toothpaste. Sometimes takes my deodorant. And I look around trying to find my stuff, and I get a little irritated after a certain amount of times my shaver is missing out of my washroom. I'm like, whose boys? So we have four bathrooms, and my bathroom's on the top floor. So sometimes I have to go into the other bathroom, don't find it. I go downstairs. The main bathroom I know doesn't have it. Go downstairs. Sometimes my shaver's in that bathroom. Sometimes it's in some boy's room. And I'm looking for my shaver so I can just get ready for the day. Okay, you feel my lament. Now, in saying all this, Paul means, when it says to impart, means to share. It literally means to give everything that you have to other people. Now, I got smart as a dad. I hide my shaver now. I hide my pit stick. It's in my drawer, in the bottom drawer of where my clothes are. I hide the toothpaste. Yes, I have to hide the toothpaste. So one day, a couple weeks ago, this is confession with Pastor Andy, I can't find my toothpaste. I can't find my tooth floss or floss. I can't find my pit stick. And I get mad at the boys. I'm like, guys, where's my stuff? Like, come on. Like, there's nothing around the house. And they're like, Dad, we don't have it. That's their classic answer for everything. They're not here because they're embarrassed, okay? They're not here because they're busy doing other things. And so I get mad at them, and then I realize, I'm like, oh, I hid all that stuff. I forgot that I hid it. It was in my backpack, bottom drawer. There's like five things of pit stick there. I just keep hiding there. I put my toothpaste there. I put the floss there. I'm like, oh, man, it was all there. Like, my boys haven't taken it. That's the opposite of imparting, is hoarding. This sometimes happens to us spiritually, too. We hoard the Spirit for ourselves. We make it about ourselves. We make it for ourselves. And it's all about ourselves. But as followers of Jesus, to impart literally means to give, to experience, to minister, to give over an experience in prayer or in ministry, in relationship, in encouragement. Imagine if we could do this as a church. We share our lives with one another to encourage when those that feel deflated, to pray and to minister when we don't have answers, not in judgment, not in spiritual manipulation or force, but to experience the power of the Spirit with one another. Because the Holy Spirit has no limits. The Holy Spirit is supernatural and is always working. It's amazing when I look back in my own journey and seeing the Holy Spirit work. And I mentioned you a story of counselors and five different counselors from the church going to this one high school campus. In that year, we ministered to 10,000 students. Out of those 10,000 students, 2,000 of those students heard the gospel for the first time. Out of those 2,000 students that heard the gospel for the first time that were come from secular backgrounds, 900 of them showed up to our church for two events. One was for the school. The other event was to share and how to be the gospel. Out of that, 127 students came to Christ and started to go to some church. It didn't mean our church. It meant to go be part of some church that your friends would go to. And I want to encourage you today that the Holy Spirit who works in the book of Acts, who's worked in my own life, who's worked in this church, can do that today. Here. At home church, if we want to be Spirit-led. It's not my moving, it's not my manipulation, it's not what I want or how I could do it. It's no strategy, it's just serving and being led by the one who leads us, which is the Holy Spirit. There would have been no high school assemblies. There would have been no hundreds of kids coming to Christ and thousands of kids hearing about Christ if we did not listen to the Spirit's lead. The Spirit can lead in your life, in your marriage, in our church, and for the dads in the room as we started today's service. God can give you courage and strength, not strength in yourself, not strength in your own ways, but strength in the Lord. I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. And there's two things that I wanted to pray and give you an opportunity to respond to. The first one is if you have not been imparted with the Holy Spirit in your life, today I encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit to take control of your life, to take perhaps control of certain areas of your life you haven't given control over to the Holy Spirit. And to simply invite the Holy Spirit to give you a freshness and a delight to live a life for Him. Maybe for you today, you need the characteristics of Christ like we talked about last week. We call it the fruit of the Spirit. To have the fruit of the Spirit in your life is to invite the Holy Spirit in your life. Maybe you're here today and you've never experienced what it means to give your life to Jesus in the context of ministry and to encourage or to benefit one another. It's not you, friends. It's not my last name. It's not how great you are that benefits us or others. The only thing that makes you and I different as followers of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit in you that can impart gifts and encouragement to one another. And maybe you're here today and you're like, Andy, I want to start practicing what it means to be Spirit-led, to pray, to encourage, and to benefit others with the gifts that God has given me. So I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. On your sermon notes, there's 3 reflection questions. I encourage you to fill those out and to walk through that this week. But today, as our team comes up, Pastor Paul, Janice, and myself, we're here to minister with you. We're here to pray with you. And maybe you're here today and you need the Holy Spirit to lead you. You need faith. You need courage. You need wisdom. I don't know what it is. But bring it to the Lord. Chat doesn't even compare to what the Holy Spirit has for you today. And secondly, before we go into worship, we believe that even if it is a song, it gives us an opportunity to invite the Spirit to speak to us afresh. And in the New Testament narrative, I'm not trying to make this weird, but they would lay hands on each other like this, just like that. And they would pray and just say, God, I pray that my friend would be Spirit-led this week. But since we are a congregation, I encourage you, if you don't mind, just to pray this prayer. You can have your hands out if you want as a receive. It's an act to say, God, I receive the Holy Spirit. You can put your hand on your heart or on your chest because this is a great opportunity. And we just pray. And we just pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you with His presence, that you would be a Spirit-led, that I would be Spirit-led, not self-centered led. So God, we come to you today and help us to be Spirit-led people, gifted by you, to practice those gifts for you and to benefit others, so that we would be able to be a blessing to our neighborhood, that I would be a blessed dad to my 3 teenage boys and teenage daughter. Lord, that I'd be blessed to be a good husband and to use my gifts, my talents, and abilities empowered by your Spirit. Lord, help us not to be led by guilt or shame or selfishness or hurt or pain or what things have happened in your past. Not to be religious, not to be self-centered, focused, but to be Spirit-led today. And the Holy Spirit promises you that He will give you wisdom and strength and courage for today. So Holy Spirit, we invite you. And secondly, we invite you, Holy Spirit, into our week. We invite you into our schools. We invite you for our friends and our workmates. We invite you into every marriage, into every family. And dads, may I say, that we invite the Holy Spirit into every dad. Dad, you might have tried to do things on your own strength. You might have tried to do things in your own way. Do not feel shameful. You are not a failure. You are not less worthy. You are not broken. You bring it to Jesus. And you let the Father of all fathers father you and love you and shape you. And you might have not had a good example, but you can be a good example as the Spirit leads you, even in your human brokenness. So Holy Spirit, encourage people today. May we experience the blessing of the Spirit, and that we would be a blessing to others. And as the pastor of this church, Lord, we apologize. We could repent if we have hurt others in the name of the Lord, that we have spoken curse versus blessing. And we want you, Holy Spirit, to move where people in our community, in our secular context, would want us to bless. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Let's sing together. Let the Holy Spirit lead you today.